When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That's what we just sang. Will you be there? We sang it like we meant it. But will you really be there? In heaven with God when the roll is called up yonder. It certainly is good to be here this morning. It's good to be with you. Appreciate your presence. We do have, as Jimmy already said, we have visitors and we've got a lot of our own people here, and we're glad all of you are here. And I just hope and trust that as we study this morning that we can be made to think seriously about our condition with God. To think seriously about what our life, my life, your life, really is all about. I want to talk this morning about saved from sin. And this time of year, as we approach the Christmas season, we hear a lot about Jesus and the birth of Jesus. And I'm going to begin with Matthew chapter 1, beginning there in verse 18. And there we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For it is he who will save his people from their sins.' And now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And so Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin till she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." As we think about what we have just read, we need to understand that Jesus came to earth to save us. That's why he came. We just read there in verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, "You should call his name Jesus, because he is the one that will save his people from their sins." In Luke chapter 2, there beginning in verse 8, where Luke records the same event of Jesus and the birth of Jesus, we read that in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Jesus was proclaimed at his birth as the Savior of mankind. But Jesus said himself that his mission was to save us from our sins. In Luke chapter 19, we read the story of Jesus as he was going along. You remember Matt talked recently about Zacchaeus, this little short dude, and he climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus, and Jesus said, "Come on down, I'm going to go home with you." And he went home with him. And there's a lot of people who began to gripe and complain because Zacchaeus was a tax collector and he was a bad dude, they thought. And so they were complaining about Jesus going. And we read there in verses 9 and 10 that Jesus said to them, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was why he came to this earth. And so when we talk about the fact of being saved from sin, we're talking about the mission of Jesus. But what does it mean to be saved? Well, I think one of the things it means is being saved from being lost. That's what Jesus said. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So what does it mean to be saved? Well, it means to be saved from sin. That's what we read in Matthew 1 and verse 21. You remember where the angel said to Joseph that his name be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so as we think about this, we need to understand that the purpose of Jesus coming was to save from sin, but it's also to save from the penalty of sin. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, we read that the wages of sin is death. And Jesus came to save from the penalty of sin. That is, from death. But you know what the problem with this verse is, as well as others that say the same thing, is that we've all sinned. And that means then that we all deserve to die. That's the problem with that verse. But read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now Paul is talking about spiritual death. Death literally means a separation. When we die in this life, we are separated from this world and the people of this world. And that's what death really means. And so spiritual death is separation from God and is forever. Now, as we look at all of this then, what we begin to understand is that sin came into the world by one man. That was Adam. You remember in the Garden of Eden. And as a result of that, we also see that salvation came by one man, and that's Jesus. And so in Romans 5, beginning there in verse 19, we read, for as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one many will be made righteous. And the law came in that the transgression might increase, for where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That is, as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Paul is not saying here that we inherit the guilt of Adam's sin or the penalty of death for sin. Rather, he is saying that Adam introduced sin into all the world. You remember we just read in Romans 5 and verse 12 that death came into the world, and he says that so death spread to all men because all sinned. That's the reason we have this penalty for everybody, is because everybody has sinned. We all deserve to die. So death literally means to be separated, and spiritual death is separation from God forever. Now, forever is eternal. That means it doesn't have any end to it. It just keeps on going. Jesus told a parable of a man that went on a long journey, and he called his slaves in. He gave them some money to work with while he was gone. And we're going to look at this in just a moment. But you see, God is in heaven. Now, if God is in heaven and we're separated from God, that means we go to hell. There's not another choice. That's all there is. It's just those two. Either we are with God in heaven or we go to hell. Now, Jesus described all this in Matthew chapter 25. And there he tells the parable of the man who called his slaves in and said, I'm going to go on this long trip and I'm going to give you some money. And so he gave one slave 5 talents of money, and he gave another one 2 talents of money, another one 1 talent of money, and gave each of them according to their abilities to manage it as best he thought. And he went on his way for his journey. When he came back, he called him in and he said, okay, now I want you to give an accounting of what you've done with the money that I gave you. And so the one that had 5 gained 5 more. And so he gave him his reward. If you look at verse 21, so his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The man who had 2 talents of money gained 2 talents more. And his reward is given in verse 23. And one of the interesting things is, as I change this slide, you'll see what the difference is. Verse 23 instead of 21. He told him exactly the same thing. He said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. They both were faithful with their master, and so they both were rewarded accordingly. But the man who had 1 talent, he was afraid, and so he went and he hid his talent, his 1 piece of money. He hid it in the ground. And when his master came back, he dug it up and he said, here it is, master. I hid it in the ground and now I'm giving it back to you. And he said, you wicked slave. He said, you could have at least put it in the bank and drawn some interest on it. You wasted it totally by doing what you did. And his punishment is given to us there in verses 28 through 30. He says, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given. He shall have an abundance from the one who does not have. Even what he does have will be taken away from him. Then he said, cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This outer darkness is separation from heaven. In the book of Revelation, we read that there will not be a sun as we know it today in heaven because God is the light. John tells us in 1 John that God is light. And so when we talk about darkness, we're talking about away from the presence of God. And he says, you will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this implies tremendous agony and pain and suffering. Jesus further describes in this same chapter the judgment scene. And in this next parable that he tells, he says that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that he will separate people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, some on the right and the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And to those that were on the right, he gives them the reward that they have coming in verse 34. And he says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And they said, Lord, how do we get this? And he tells them, he said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And they said, Lord, when did we ever see you like that? And he said, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And then in verse 41, he gives out the punishment for those that were separated on the left, those that were wicked. To those on the left, he said, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And you know, they asked the same question. They said, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and not feed you? When did we ever see you in prison and not take care of you or sick and not feel your needs or whatever? And he said, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of my brethren, you did not do it to me. And so the conclusion to this is in verse 46 where he says that these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And as we look at this story that Jesus is telling here of the judgment, I think we have to see the contrast of the talents. We see the contrast of light versus darkness. And light and darkness are mutually exclusive. You cannot have both. And so either we are in the light with God or we are in darkness in hell. And we need to understand that it happens for everybody. But notice that life, eternal life, and punishment were in the mind of God and prepared before the world began. In the parable of the sheep, the shepherd dividing the sheep and the goats, we see a contrast also there of eternal life versus eternal punishment. But you see, God has eternity ready now. In John chapter 14, a passage that most of us are familiar with in verses 1 through 3, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places," King James says mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And if we go back to Matthew chapter 25 and we compare there verses 34 and we compare verses 41, we see the king will say to those on his right, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." You see, God has prepared an eternal kingdom for all mankind to enjoy in eternity with Him. And it's up to each of us to decide whether we will go to heaven to be with God in eternity, or we will be separated from Him by spiritual death and go to hell. And as we look at verse 41, He said to those people, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, God prepared eternal bliss for us. He prepared hell for the devil. And it's up to us to decide, do we want to be with God in eternity or be with the devil in hell in eternity? And we have to make that decision. And we have to make it for ourselves. And that decision determines how we live. Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin, from death and from hell, but He also saves us now from the power of sin in our lives. In Romans chapter 6, beginning there in verse 16, He says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone for slaves as slaves for obedience, you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." It is that form of teaching that we read about, that we are to be obedient to, that saves us from our sin. Paul calls this in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You remember we read from Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, there where the angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people." And so it is this good news, this gospel, that tells us how we can be saved. There in Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." If we're going to believe this gospel, we've got to hear it. And so Paul tells us in Romans 10 and 17 that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so we have to hear it and we believe it. And this means then that we put our faith in Jesus. We put our faith in His death on the cross, and we put our faith in the resurrection from the dead for our salvation. And so in Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, He says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." We hear it. We believe it. We also must be willing to confess our faith in Jesus as Lord to be saved. And so he says we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, and it results in salvation. So we must hear this gospel, this good news of Jesus, our Savior, and put our faith in Him. And believing that gospel, we confess our faith in Him. And then based on our faith in Him, we turn away from sin in our lives. That's called repentance. And so in Romans 6, in verses 8 through 11, he says, "Now if you have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And so we die to sin. Based on our faith in Jesus as our Lord and as our risen Savior, we die to sin when we are baptized into Christ. We are buried with Him, and then we are raised up just as He was raised from the dead, so that we can become a new person in Jesus Christ. And so we'll back up in Romans 6 to verse 1. And he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for He who has died is freed from sin." When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? It's your choice to make. It's up to you to decide, do you want to go and be with God in heaven in eternity? Do you want to live for Jesus now with Him as your Lord? Do you want to die to sin and to live for God? Or you can choose to not do that. In fact, you can choose not to do anything about your soul today. And if you die, you'll go to hell. But it's your choice. And this morning we're going to sing a song to encourage you to respond, not to me, not to this church, but to respond to Jesus Christ and to His invitation to accept Him as your Lord, to turn away from sin, and upon your confession of faith be baptized into Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're subject to His invitation, we would encourage you to come as we stand and sing.